this morning. Amen. I woke up and I'm like, wow, that sounds cool. As long as it stays away from me, I'm all right. Amen. But we had a good storm arrive during the night. Had some much needed rain, they say. I don't know. Can't convince me of all that. But thank God, he knows what he's doing when it rains, when the sun shines, and everything else. Amen. And we're just glad you're here with us today. And this week had been working on three different messages and was looking at a fourth message possibly this morning. And God took us to a different route this morning. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 27. It's always good to have Hayden with us. It's always good to have all of y'all with us every day. And we thank God for each one of you. We ask you to pray for Sister Gwen that she has a safe journey back home. I told her, I said, I might not let you go away Wednesday. She said, yeah, right. And anyway, I said, that's my quiet time. I enjoy my alone time sometimes. Don't tell her that. She might want to beat me up or something. But go with me to Acts 27. Begin reading at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclidon. When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall not be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that shall sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. I want to use the thought this morning of surviving the storm. Surviving the storm. Many of us here today perhaps know of somebody that's very close to you that is going through a storm in life. Many of us, when we think of a storm, we think of hurricanes, we think of tornadoes, we think of tropical storms of the region in which we live. If you go to Ohio, where I'm from, and you hear of a storm, you automatically, in the wintertime, think of a snowstorm coming your way or a tornado coming your way. But we all realize that every one of us have been through storms. Every one of us have been through storms that maybe we lost some things. Last Halloween, Brother John and I drove to Fairbluff. You know, we purchased a truckload of water and we took over there and we drove down through the inner city of what's left of Fairbluff after the hurricane, and it broke my heart because I saw literally piles of trash on the streets taller than I am, piled up all down through the curb because of the destruction that the hurricane had brought. It was only later on that we found out many of my friends lost everything they had. They lost their homes, they lost their automobiles, and most of them lost their jobs because none of the industry that was there, except one of my dear friends who was a member of our church there at Fairbluff, kept his business going through the storm and everything because he had the fortunate mental ability that when he built his factory there where they manufacture boats, they built it high enough above the floodplain that they weren't harmed. They lost their home because it had been there for over 100 years, and now he's got a new home in its place, but you can actually walk under his home. That's how high he built it off the ground. And he said, I'm not going to be flooded out like that ever again. So, you know, it makes you wonder sometimes when you see these storms come our way, what do? We try to avoid them at all costs. When the hurricanes come our way, we know in advance. And what do? We buy out the grocery store, the Walmarts, the hardware stores, and all those things, trying to prepare for the storm. But there's storms that come our way in life, and guess what? They come many times without our having any foreknowledge of them. They happen without us knowing that they're coming. So we need to realize something. If we could, we would choose to avoid a storm, right? But in every storm, I've learned something. In every storm, I've learned that the storm can only do so much damage until God enters in and takes hold of the situation if we trust him. Storms can be frightening at times because they're unpredictable. You know, the hurricanes, you see them coming, and guess what? All of a sudden, you start worrying about tornadoes spawning off of them. You worry about the rains that come, the power outages, and all those things. Storms can generate all kinds of destructive power. And so here we read about a storm that the Apostle Paul is faced with. And I want you to see some things very profoundly in this morning. Amen? There was a tremendous storm. It was called a northeaster by most translations. Here on the coast, we know a northeastern is a bad storm. It's something that we don't want to see come our way. And the storms that they tell me that sailors really dread are the northeasterns. And, you know, when we look at this and we find this storm that's come their way, they finally got to the point that the vessel that they were in for safety, all of a sudden they had no control over. Can I tell you something? There are storms that are going to come into your life that you have absolutely no control over. Do you understand me today? There's some storms that you just can't help. All you can do is ride out the storm and trust in God. Amen. It's in those kind of storms, though, that the worst things can happen. In verse 15, we find them doing something very unique to bring their vessel under control. They gave up and let the ship have its own driven course. The fierce winds and waves were literally plotting the course of the ship. They no longer had control of that. I'm here to tell you there are storms that will come against you that will make you feel like you've lost control of your life and your destiny. That's when I say to you, trust in God Almighty. Amen. No matter how scary they get, no matter how dangerous they seem to be, the ship is going to go its course regardless. Amen. And yet they were concerned because they knew that they no longer had the destiny that they thought they had. They no longer charted the course any longer. They were at the discretion of the winds and the storm as it took control. Bible decides and it declares to us that far as they were concerned, all hope was gone. Can you imagine by the time their sails were tattered and torn, they begin to look up towards the heavens and think, this is the end. The structure of our ship has become weakened more and more each moment. Every time a wave hit, a board gave way, taking water in as they began to sink and began to toil even harder. They couldn't toil anymore. The Bible says they finally just gave up. I'm here to tell you, we are at the end of our journey. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could come today. And I just want to caution you today, is one that is sailing this ship of Zion with you. Now's not the time to give up on God. Now's not the time to say that God's not in control. I'm here to tell you that God Almighty still reigns, amen, and he is in control. Maybe you're here this morning and deep down inside you say, preacher, I can relate to the storm that you're talking about today. I'm in the middle of a storm. It might be that it's a sickness storm that's come your way. You're bound with one disease after another, one physical crisis after another. You might be here today and fighting a financial problem, a financial storm that you just can't seem to get ahead in. I don't know about you, but there have been times that I get excited when I pay a bill off, Brother Yule. And then, you know, all of a sudden, next thing you know, something happens and you have to have another bill in its place. How many of you can relate to that? Amen. You get a doctor bill paid off, and next thing you know, you're at the doctor's office again and got another bill. But what I'm trying to get you to see, that's not the time to give up on God. You might be here today and your family is going through some crisis, and maybe you have a relationship crisis or a storm in your life. Let me tell you something. There is nobody on this earth worth going to hell over. You hear me? And you hear me loud and clear. There is no one that's died for you other than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I stand secure in Him. Amen. I thank God for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. But most importantly, I thank God for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what He's done for me. Amen. You might be here this morning feeling beaten or battered or even broken to that point. Well, I'm here to tell you those winds and waves of adversity have come against you. But I know a peacemaker, a peace speaker that can look out over your life and look at the storm that's coming against you and say, peace, be still. Amen. I can't take this. Okay? Amen. I got to let loose. So pray that it just stays where it's supposed to stay. What I'm trying to get to the sea church is this. God loves you, and that God has His eyes upon you because He purchased you with the blood of His precious Son. Can I get an amen? You may feel like you're losing control of your situation. You've done everything that you know to try to get back on course to no avail. All your strength is gone, and you feel helpless and hopeless, and you've resigned to just ride out the storm. I'm here to tell you, that's all God asks you to do is to hold on, to stand still, and see the salvation of Almighty God in the midst of your storm. You say, Brother Gwen, I'm not in a storm at this time. Well, thanks be unto God for that. But can I tell you something? It's probably not been too long since you got through the last storm. You might be in the midst of a storm right now. You might be coming out of one, or you might be walking right in the beginning of the greatest storm that you've ever seen. The question is, Pastor, how can I survive the storm? I want you to say that out loud with me. Pastor, how can I survive the storm? I'm going to give you three methods of survival today that God has given me, and I trust that they will help you. Number one, verse 18, notice it says they lightened the load. Amen? Think about that for just a minute. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, you got to let some things go. You see, they threw all the cargo out of the ship was to make the ship lighter. You see, a loaded ship is going to sail low in the water. If you've ever been on the ocean, you know what I'm talking about with a load. And the deck of the ship is going to be near the surface of that water because of the low setting of the ship. And when the winds blow, guess what? The waves come over the top of the ship and they get in there. And what happens? The more water you take on, guess what? You begin to set lower in the water. I've noticed something of ships when they're low in the water. They don't go quite as fast. They don't get to where they're going like they anticipated they would. So what did they do? They threw all the cargo out of the ship so that it would sail higher in the water. Some of you here this morning have set your sail intending to make it to heaven someday. How many of you want to go to heaven? Amen. All of us do, right? Well, then guess what? You got to lighten your load some. Satan comes and tells you, I've got you this time. There's no way out. I'm going to beat you against the rocks of life, and you won't be able to ever sail again for the kingdom of God. You might as well give up. You ever hear him tell you that? I've had him tell me that in the last month. You might as well give up. You might as well throw in the towel. Nobody gives a flying rip. But guess what? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the one who guides our ship. Jesus Christ is the one that paid the price for us to keep sailing on, if you please. Amen. You got to understand, he'll try to get you to lose hope and lose everything about you. But I'm here to tell you, you might be on the verge of losing your home or your family or your job. But can I tell you something? Have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. What are you saying, Pastor? Have God's kind of faith, a faith that is unwavering. The waves of doubt and dismay come over and inside of your ship. The winds of discouragement come and despair is tattering your sail. You're about to sink,
But I'm here to tell you, it's time to unload your vessel and give it to God. Amen. The first thing you've got to unload is fear and false expectations. Some of you are loaded down with fear, but Jesus said, fear not, it is I, be not afraid. Amen. Paul said, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A power to overcome, a power to be victorious, a power over the storm in your life. So throw fear and throw that thing out of the ship and keep trusting and believing the Lord. The second thing is you need to unload is worry. Amen. It said in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you need to know in whom you believe. You need to know that your faith is well placed in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You need to understand something. Worry profiteth nothing. Amen. It said in 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I will not be pulled in different directions. I refuse to be intimidated with fear and worry and constant dread. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, know who's in charge of all that's going on in your life. It is Almighty God. Amen. Can I get an amen today? Amen. So we got to get rid of fear. We got to get rid of worry. And then we need to unload doubt. You need to throw doubt out the window. Satan wants you to doubt God's care for you, to doubt God's love for you, to doubt the intimacy that you once had with God and that God can deliver you from the storm. Satan will tell you, why doesn't God even know that you're in the storm? Can I give you a word today? There's not a storm that's come your way that God hasn't known the hour of its arrival and the hour of its departure. I'm here to tell you, that storm might come, but blessed be God, it's going to go. Why? By the authority of Almighty God. Amen. You're not in the battle alone. You've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, all three in one, that are standing up for you, that are walking with you and taking you along the way. Amen. You need to understand that. When you think there's nowhere around, you can't see him through the wind and the rain, he'll come walking on top of the water. He told Peter one day, he said, oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Don't doubt God in the midst of your storm. Trust him. Amen. He'll make a way when there seems to be no way. He'll calm the troubled waters of your soul. You don't need to sail too low in the water. You need to rise to the occasion, amen, by getting rid of those things. The next thing you need to do is unload unbelief. You know what? I believe and I'm convinced, Brother Harold, there's more unbelief in the church today than any other time in history. Come on now. Amen. We fret. We worry. You know, we get all concerned. You know, this week I was looking at the finances and we put out a financial report for last month on the bulletin board. And I looked at it and I said, God, only you can do this. You know what? And guess what? God said, I got this. I've got this. Amen. I looked at the budget for this week and I'm like, God, there is no way. Amen. Unbelief has robbed more people of the blessings and the benefits of God than almost anything in our lives. 2 Corinthians 1:9 says that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in God. Pastor, there is no way. I remember standing here on October 2, 2002, with about 30-some people that come to say hello. Amen. We started with 14. We're still got the doors open 15 years later. And guess what? We've seen a lot of trials of our faith. Amen. We've seen people give when it seemed like there was no way to give. But guess what? God meets the need. I'm here to tell you, no matter what storm you're going through right now, if you can unload unbelief, God will rob literally heaven and earth to meet your need. Amen. It said in 1 Timothy 4 and 10, Paul writes, we trust, are you ready for this? In the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially, are you ready for this? To those who believe. Whoa. Amen. Lee, I look back, she's got the most beautiful smile, and she's all happy in Jesus. And this, you know, two Sundays now, she's here after being in the hospital for a while, not looking too good. And I told her, I said, I'm going to call you. I'm going to check on your sugar. And you got to get that sugar down. And she said, I'm trying, Pastor, I'm trying. So I'm trying to encourage her. It's a hard thing when you're a diabetic and your sugar wants to run crazy. And guess what? It makes you do all kinds of things, think all kinds of things. But guess what? I'm here to tell you, we need to trust in a living God. I need your help this morning. Will you help me preach this morning? Look to your neighbor and say, hey, in case you forgot, God's still alive. He's not dead. He's still alive. You hear me? God is still alive. Amen. I thank God for that reality. You see, unbelief, you know what it does? It causes fear. Anybody like fear? I don't like fear. I don't like being afraid. It'll cause us doubt. I find out something, Sister Patsy. Fear and doubt, you know what they bring? Anxiety. Anybody like being stressed out? I don't. My doctor's getting ready next Sunday night to do an MRI on my upper body. And I said, Doc, I am very claustrophobic. He said, really? I said, oh, yeah. I said, unless you want a new MRI machine, you better fix me so that I don't tear that thing apart. He laughed. He said, we're going to put you in a larger one. I'm like, are you saying because I'm fat? He said, no, because you're claustrophobic. I said, okay, I can live with that. And he said, then I'm going to give you a little something to kind of just let you la-la land. You know, I was like, cool. That's cool. He said, you won't even realize you're in there and out. I said, that'll work for me. Amen. I don't need the anxiety. I don't need the stress, Brother Yule. Amen. So he said he's going to help. But what I want you to realize is this. God can take care of your fear. God can take care of all your doubt. God can get rid of all that anxiety that I'm going to have that night. Why? Because we have to learn to trust God. Amen? And then there's guilt. And he does all this stuff, and he pours it over the vessel just in time of that storm. He knows what ingredients to add. He knows how you're suffering from the unbelief. He knows how you're suffering from the fear and the doubt and the anxiety. And he just keeps pouring it on. And you know how he knows he's doing a good job? You're telling him. We tell the devil how good he's doing instead of telling God how good he's doing at keeping us in the midst of the storm. I had something happen the other day. I got so upset with the devil. I hung up the phone. I walked out on the back porch. And I said, devil, you're not getting my song. God gave it to me and you ain't taking it away. I'm going to praise God in the midst of the storm because you ain't my boss. I walked in this morning and said, do you feel better now? I said, yeah, I feel a whole lot better. She said, you're crazy. Neighbors might think you're nuts. I said, I don't care. Everybody thinks I'm a little nuts, so I don't really care. Amen. Think about it. You've got to lighten that load and get rid of those things. You see, there's something you forget in all the storms we face. God's in control. God sees what's up ahead. Amen. I was in the office yesterday, and a piece of mail came, and it was addressed to our clerk, and I took it to Brother John, and I said, I don't know what this is, but you need to look at it. It's addressed to you. And he opened it. Tears got his eyes. He looked at me and said, look what God's doing. I looked and I was like, wow, ain't God amazing? Somebody, another church, blessed us in the midst of the storm. You see, I learned a long time ago, God's got this. You understand me? I thank God for the council because these are men of prayer and fasting and faith. And they pray for me every day. I'll call Brother Kay, I'll say, I need your prayers. I've been praying for you already today. What I'm trying to tell you is this. The attacks are greater than ever before.
But God is greater than any attack the devil might bring your way. So what do we need to do? Lighten the ship. Lighten the load. The second thing we need to do is lay hold of your hope. In verses 20 through 25, I'm not going to read them there. But he had heard from God. Peter says, this day there stood beside me an angel of the Lord. He's told me everything's going to be fine. That we're going to make it to where we're going. Oh, the ship's going to be busted all to pieces, but we that are on board are going to be saved. What I'm here to tell you is this. The rapture of the church is soon arriving. Amen. Now's not the time to throw in the towel and give up. Now's the time to lay hold of your hope. It says in Hebrews 6, 18 and 19, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, favorable and confident expectation of hope. It describes the happy anticipation of the goodness of hope. We lose hope when we lose our vision. In Proverbs 29 and 16, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I'm here to tell you, you want to be a happy, on fire, born again child of God. Have a vision to see this church filled to capacity and the lost and dying of this world weekly getting saved and on fire for the kingdom of God. Without that, this church dies. If you don't believe it, go talk to the folks at Gibson Avenue. They used to be a vibrant church when I moved here over 30 years ago. They were happy in the Lord. They always had good numbers. But guess what? Wasn't long ago that they quit having Wednesday nights. Wasn't long after that that they quit having Sunday nights. And I asked somebody, he actually comes to our church. He was here with us Wednesday night, Brother Wallace. Goes there. He said, Pastor, he said, until they close the doors, I'm going. But he said, when they do, I'll be here every Sunday. And now they're just a Sunday school and morning worship. He said, it's sad. What I'm trying to get you to see is this. When we lose hope, it's hard to have a testimony. I've never understood us Pentecostals in some areas. We've got the best relationship with God going. We worship. We have church. We clap our hands. We stomp our feet. We have the kids that mime as we sing. You know, we got all that cool stuff going on. We know how to worship. We know how to feed on the Word of God. But yet, we don't share what we have. Why is that? How many of you ever dreamed of winning $1 million? Yeah? I guarantee if you won $1 million, they couldn't shut you up. But can I tell you something? I've got something better than $1 million. It's my relationship with Almighty God. Amen. So why can't we go out and share that with the world? What are you afraid of? They're going to tell you you're crazy. They don't need your God. I'd rather go down trying than not trying at all. Amen. That is the key. We've got to lay hold of our hope. When those on board lost sight of the sun and the moon and the stars, they lost their ability to navigate the ship, even if they could, but they couldn't. They could had no sense of direction. They had no idea where they were going. And the sad thing is that we in the church, if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of the direction. I'm not going down. This church is not going under. It's going over, because any day now the trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And those of us that are alive and remain are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So take that, devil. We're going to be gone. Got to keep our focus. We need to know that the vision goes beyond our natural sight. We need a vision from God that goes beyond the earthly realm into the spiritual realm.
where God is navigating us through the storms of life. Our vision from God involves five things. I want you to write them down. I'm tired of seeing some of you live defeated. It's time for you to rise up in victory. So I'm going to give you five quick things that will help you to do this. I'll even give you permission to write on a tithe envelope, two or three if you need it. Amen. We got a whole box back there. Brother Tim can replace them. You ready? Everybody say ready. Number one, to help you become more anchored in your soul, it involves God's presence. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve. Whew. That'll preach all by itself, y'all. Amen. You've got to have the presence of God in your lives. It involves God's purpose, number two. My destiny in God's will, verse 24 says, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Huh. Oh, wow. You know what? It ain't over till God says it's over. And can I tell you something? The God I serve is not going to let you go down without a fight for everything that's within you. The third thing, it involves God's power. It says in verse 24, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. How many of you feel like you're part of the old ship of Zion? It was established 2,000 years ago. Can I tell you something? All of us that are on board can go if we keep our faith and realize that he has the power to save. 1 Peter 1 through 3, verses 3 through 5 reveals to us that we have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are kept, we are guarded, and protected by the power of God through faith. How many of you got faith? Preacher, I don't have as much faith as some folks. Dude, it only takes faith the size of a mustard seed. Tiniest seed in all the world, but produces big time. What I'm trying to get you to see is this. We've got power, we've got purpose, and we've got presence. But it doesn't stop there. We have a promise. Think about it. God's faithfulness and my faith can move mountains. Verse 25 says, he told them, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told unto me. I'm going to ask y'all something. Has God ever given you a word? Can I tell you something? Did it not come to pass? Okay, if God gives you a word, trust me, he will do everything within his power as long as you've got faith because of his faithfulness to make it come to pass. It said in 1 Kings 5, verse 56, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. Are you ready for this now? There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Whoa. Okay, I've needed that verse a few times the last month. I've had to rely on that, Brother Yule, a lot more than I ever thought possible. Because God has given us promise. I'll just reiterate to you the promise God's given me over this church. This church will be greater in her ending than her beginning. We haven't seen near the greatness of what God wants to do in our midst. And you know what? We will if we've got faith and believe in the faithfulness of God. The fifth thing that it involves is this. Well, let me read something to you. Sister Hattie, she's like me. She's old school on these redback hymnals. I like the redback hymnal myself. Some of the new songs I don't like because they ain't for a musician. They're not musician friendly. They play them in the weirdest keys you've ever heard of. And if you know music, you know what I'm talking about. But there's an old song I remember hearing as a boy. And I want to give it just a brief synopsis of it. It says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises
of God. Whew. That'll preach, Brother Harold. Standing on the promises of God. Are you standing or are you floundering on the promises? The sixth thing that involves God is peace. It's an inner tranquility. In Philippians 4 and 7 it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Doesn't end there, Isaiah 26 and 3. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." Are you ready for this? "Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You got your mind on the wrong kind of stuff. Amen. During the elections, our minds were on who's lying, who's telling the truth. You know? And even now, you know, what, 9 months later, 10 months later, they still, you know, you wonder who's telling the truth, who ain't, you know? But it's all part of that process. And we incorporate these things into our mind. And it bogs us down. We need to understand. We need to keep he will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind stayed on him. Somebody asked me a question the other day, and I don't know if they like my answer or not. And they said, "What do I do when somebody comes speaking negative in my life?" I said, "Ignore them. Walk away from them." And they said, "But why?" I said, "Because you start thinking instead of on who God is and what God wants for your life, on what they're telling you, and it makes you go deeper in the water." You see what I'm saying? So what do? We lighten the load. We get everything in course. And what does God tell us? We need that inner tranquility. We need that peace that comes from God. Amen. I've had to literally go back to those two verses in the last month over and over and over again and realize, can I tell you something? God's still in control. The third thing that must be done today, the final thing in verses 30 through 31, you got to lock yourself in the ship. Paul told them, you got to stay on board till it's over with. Can you imagine as the ship began to break apart? Stay on, hold on to something, hold on to something. You got to lock yourself in on where you're going. You got to make up your mind you're going to heaven regardless of everybody else. Amen? Think about it. You see, when we look at John 15 and 7, says this, "If ye abide in me," oh, I love this, "and my words abide in you." Are you ready for the next promise? "Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Now notice here, leave that up there for me, Jason, if you would, for a few minutes. If you abide in me, you know what abiding in Jesus is? Total surrender to God and his will and purpose for your life and the body of Christ. Total surrender. And then what does he do? He says, you got to ask what you need. If you're in the midst of a storm today, all you have to do is give it to Jesus. I liken that unto lightening the load. You know, he says, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Amen. And then notice what he said. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, it won't happen if it's not God's will. Let me enlighten you for just a minute. If you are abiding in Christ, you don't go asking anything contrary to the will of God. Uh-oh. Kind of hits you in the heart, don't it? It should. If you try to get out of the will of God and try to high-pressure God with the name it, claim it, frame it stuff, guess what? It don't work. Amen. Those kind of schemes and plans do not work. But what I'm telling you is this. If you abide in Jesus, you're going to know how to ask, when to ask, and you know that you can trust him, and it's going to be done. So quit asking and moaning and groaning and start praising him for the answer. Whoa. Got you on that one, didn't I? Do you really believe God when you pray? Do you really trust God when you pray? Do you?
thing not. If you did, you'd come through those gates with thanksgiving and praise upon your lips. Come on now. Amen. Every time I see Lee and Judy come in, I want to just stomp the devil. Say, ha, 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 they made it today. Makes my day. The other day when Lloyd was here, he looked the best I've seen him in 15 years. Hey, man, God's trying to do a work in his life. And what I want them to drive home with him is that they've got to keep him on board the ship. They've got to help him to realize, hey, this thing's happening right now, even as we speak. God's doing a new thing. Tonight, we're going to be over at Brookfield Church of God, and I want to invite you to go be there. Sister Retta's going to be speaking. We're trying to get after all the younger people in our society, the teens, the older teens, the young adults. We're going after them, and we're doing it as a united effort within our city. Amen. People say, what's that called? It's called thinking outside the box. Well, preacher, I don't know if that's necessary. Let me tell you something. We can keep doing the same old thing, and history can move from 21st Street and Gibson Avenue to here. I don't want to see that happen here. Amen. We're going after souls. And I'm asking you to believe God with me, to abide in God and trust him and ask him for the souls. I'm going to ask you a tough question. How many of you have sons and daughters that are lost? Raise your hand. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a tough question. Are you abiding in the Lord enough that it pricked their heart? Amen. I remember living with my grandparents after I graduated high school for about 6 months. And my grandmama, she would pray. Boy, she could pray, she could pray, she could pray. Granddad had passed away, so I was living with her and working for my uncle there in Beckley, West Virginia. And what always impressed me about her prayers, she didn't have much material things. But she had a relationship with God. And she would ask God specific things, and I would see God answer those things. I said, Grandmama, how's God do that? She says, you do it by abiding in him. In other words, she says, I don't get caught up in all the junk that's out there. I'm like, wow. I said, you mean you don't go out there in the world and do all that? No, you don't do that. And she said, all I do is maintain a focus of my word and my time with God and my worship. And she said, then you can ask God to do anything. So I'm asking you. You raised your hand saying you've got sons, daughters, grandchildren that are lost. Let's include them in the mix. I'll make you a promise. You put all the junk out of your life and put God first in every area of your life. And you abide in him. And I'll make you a promise. This is what we're going to do. We're going to get a box out this week out of that loft over there. And we're going to set it right here in front of the pulpit. And this is what I want you to do. Not for healing, okay? Not for healing. I want you to claim their soul for the kingdom of God. And next week, I want you to write their name down on a piece of paper, fold it neatly, and we're going to put it in that box, and we're going to pray over those names. And I believe, if you will abide in the Lord and you will ask for them to be saved, guess what? My Bible tells me, and that word on that board behind me and in front of me says, it shall be done unto you. Amen. That's powerful. Preacher, I've been praying for my son for 20-some years or my daughter for 30 years, and they're not saved yet. I'm asking you. Don't look at me. Don't look at your wife or your husband. Look at yourself in the mirror and ask, are you truly abiding in Jesus? If you are, and you ask him, and you put their name in this box, guess what? I believe God will save them. Brother Yule, I believe that with all my heart. We waste our energy on too much other garbage when we're commanded by God to literally get in him. He's placed us in a ship. He's placed us in his lordship. He's placed us in a church membership. He's placed us in a human relationship. And he's placed us in a marriage partnership. What I'm trying to get you to see is you've got to understand. You've got to lighten your load as Sister Hattie comes this morning. You got to lay hold of your hope. You've got to lock yourself into the presence of Almighty God. Will you stand with me? As I said this morning, starting out, you might be in a particular place in your life that you, not necessarily abiding as close as you once were, and you ask God, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? Check your abiding. Been spending a lot of office time this week here and going over things with God. And one of the things, I always make it a point, God, if there's something in me that needs to change, change it. If there's something in a friend of mine that is going on and they don't know how to handle it, I ask God to help them to see light. I want to ask you today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here this morning. You're going through a storm. It takes your honesty to recognize the storm you're in. It might be in a relationship that's in turmoil. It might be at school or at work is in constant state of turmoil. Might be in your relationship between your spouse and yourself or your children or grandchildren. You want to survive the storm? Then lighten the load. You want to survive the storm? Learn to trust Him and be in Jesus. If you're here this morning and you want to survive the storm that you're in right now, I want you to step out from where you are, and we're going to anoint you, and we're going to pray with you, and we're going to believe for God's mercy to move upon you. God bless these that are coming. God bless these that are coming. God knows the storm that you're in. He cares about you today. Look at this altar. Timely message for each one that's here. We're going to anoint them with oil, and we're going to believe God. How many of you have ever been in a storm and God rescued you? Will you lift your hand? Would you come down and form a wall of faith behind these? We're going to believe together.